Okay, I'm here to introduce the windmill pitching style to you. The technique that we're going to use is supposed to be, as far as my opinion and a lot of the pitchers that I've taught, is supposed to be one of the most efficient as far as energy goes, so that you could pitch several games if they needed to. It's also a lot less injury if you do it correctly, because we are trying to do it the most biomechanically correct way that you can, and that is opening the door and closing, and I will explain that in a little while. What I want you to realize, though, is that pitching, there are three really important things that you need to remember, and that is the wrist snap, the hip close, and balance. You have to have all three of those in order to be successful at pitching. You also have to be very determined and practice a lot. Now, what I want to talk about to start with is the position of the body. What I'm going to do is use the camera as my catcher, and I want to explain to you the body in a full motion, in the open door position, and in the closed position. Now, in the open door position, I want you to imagine that you have a dot here on both shoulders, a dot at your hip, and a dot at your other hip. Now, when you face the catcher in the very beginning of your full motion, all four dots are facing your catcher. Now, when you do your open door position, you're going to take the ball, you can present together, which we'll talk about later in the video. You drop for the backswing, and as you open your door, you're pointing your glove hand at your catcher, and no dots are showing to your catcher. So you should not be turned this way in order to throw the ball. The reason for that is because if you come down and release the ball like you're supposed to, you have a lot of pressure on the shoulder. A lot of times the ball will get behind you, and that is what we're trying to prevent. A lot of pressure and stress on your rotator cuff, your shoulder, and your elbow. So I want to make sure that when you do your backswing, you open your door. It's from the full motion, backswing, open the door. This is open door position, and you'll do most of your drills in this. Then when you get ready to slam the door, you're coming down, snapping at your hip. The slamming the door means you bring your hip through where both feet are facing the catcher, and all four dots are back to the catcher again, and you're in a defensive position ready for the ball to come back to you. So it's going to look like a full motion, closed door, swing it back, open door, release the ball, you close the door again, or what we call slam the door, because we want explosion there and power. Okay, what we want to explain now is a couple of the drills that you're going to see later on in the video. We're going to show you drills that they need to work on in order to do the muscle memory, where they actually do the circle in the open door position, but they don't have to think about that part. They have put it in their memory and it's there. They just bring their arm back and shoot the ball through. Now, I'm going to pretend that this is my catcher in front of me here, so you're actually seeing a side view of me. The first drill that we're going to do is called a wrist snap. You do these into your gloves so they don't need a catcher. You're going to put your hand on your hip. You're going to have your wrist cocked. Wrist cocked means that you're going to have the back of your hand as close to your forearm as possible. So you're coming here, you're just going to drop down to your toes and snap. What we're doing when we do these drills to teach you how to pitch is we're starting from part to whole. We're not going to throw a kid on the mound, say throw the ball and let us fix you. The reason I don't like to do that is because a lot of times children get injured when they just throw 10 pitchers this way because they're trying to throw hard. We never compromise our speed for our technique. So what you've got to do is make sure your technique's right. So we're starting from the very part. So what we're doing, this part, this wrist snap, is actually right before you let the ball go and follow through. So part to hold, we're going to start with the wrist snap, snap it into our glove. You're going to shoot the gun at the end. Now, what shooting the gun means is that you're going to have your thumb on top, your forefinger pointing towards your catcher. That means that your hand was in correct position when you released the ball. When you came through, your hand wasn't turned over. That means your thumb would be on the bottom. If you come through and your hand's turned this way, that means you've turned your wrist. What you want is where you come straight through, your thumb is on top, your forefinger's pointing to the catcher. So it looks like this, and you're brushing your hip. The next thing we're going to go to is what we call a muscle. The reason we call it a muscle, it's like you're standing here making a muscle, but you're going to put the ball in your hand and you're going to cock your wrist the other way. You're going to have a 90 degree angle here. The ball is going to be facing the sky. You're going to have your wrist cocked. You're just going to come back and you're right to your wrist snap again. But you're not going to pause in the middle. On a muscle, you're just going to come straight down, snap. Straight down, snap. Ball is pointing to the air. You're keeping the wrist cocked until You get ready to hit your hip, and that's when you snap. A couple more. Okay, the next drill you're gonna do is called the half circle. You're gonna come straight up. The arm is not locked, because what produces more speed, a stick or a whip? Well, we want a whip, and if you have your arm locked, that's a stick. So we want a slight bend in it. The ball is to the sky, the wrist is cocked again, and the way that you can know that your hand is not too far over your head, because we want the plane in front of your body with the wall, is that you look up. Don't move your head, just look up with your eyes, and that way, if you see your hand just a little bit, you know that you're in front of your body. You're gonna come straight down and snap. You're here, so you're back to the wrist snap, and down. So this way, what you're doing is trying to teach a pitcher who has never pitched before how to keep their arm in front of them so that they don't hurt their shoulder. So you want to start from this part to hold technique so that you don't throw them right out there and let them get hurt. Now the last one with just the stable feet and in the glove is the full circle. You're going to cock your wrist with your fingers to your catcher. Swing back just a little bit. Come over. Now here is the tricky part. What you're going to do is instead of come straight up, because when you go straight up you have to turn. So what you're going to do is come straight up, lead with your fingers to the ground, balls to the sky, balls to the back, come right back to your wrist snap. So it looks like this. Here, right into your glove. Right into your glove. You notice that the wrist is cocked all the time, all the way. And you'll see some pitchers do this so that you can understand a little better. I'm taking you pretty fast through it, but with these four drills, the wrist snaps, the muscles, the half circles, and the full circles, what you need to have your pitcher do, especially if she's never pitched before, is you need to have them do those drills into their glove or into a wall, not to a catcher, for at least 3 to 4 weeks, to where you really feel like they have gotten the technique, that there's not going to be any aiming involved. You'll understand what aiming is later. You don't want them to try to worry where the ball goes ever. You just want them to get that momentum up, snap it at the hip. And if you don't let them do that, then you're going to have to where they have lost the technique, and they're going to go on their own when they get in trouble. And you never want that to happen. Okay, what I want to do is show you the grip of the ball. A lot of people or a lot of pitchers have a tendency to grip the ball too tight. So this is a way that you can check to make sure they're not holding it too far back in their hand so that it can come out with that momentum and that snap. And what we suggest is that you use the backward C of the ball. They take their two fingers on the top, the thumb will be to the side, and these two fingers are just laid across. They're not really a big part other than just a guiding force in the pitch. These two fingers and the thumb will be what pinches the ball as they get ready to snap. That's what actually happens, or I try to describe to them so that they'll know how they're supposed to feel. You pinch the ball, and that's how you get the ball out of your hand. It's not a grip and a push. So Jen is going to put her hands on the backward C, and she's going to hold the ball as if she was cocking her wrist. Now, what I have them do, the pitchers do, is pull the ball up in the air, and if they can see a space between the bottom of the ball and their hand, they're not gripping it too tight. But what happens a lot of times is when they put it up, you'll see it here. That's holding the ball too tight. There's no space there. So they need to have, put it in your hand where it's comfortable, Jen, they need to have a space there, because that just means they're not gripping it too tight, and you can get that pop out of the hand and that snap. And when she comes down to snap, she's actually going to pinch those two fingers and come through. Now this fourth finger here is a guiding force, and that one will feel the seams a lot of times. That one will be the one that gets the callus or the blood blister on it, and that means they're throwing it right. If they get one on their forefinger, that means the ball is coming out wrong out of their hand. And how I mean wrong is it should come here to where you can still see this part of the ball, and then they should shoot the gun to where their thumb is on top. So that's where they can throw it to where the release, they should feel the pressure on this the ring finger. Position we're in right now is an open door position. This is where we're using the tarp in the back. Here is the catcher, and this is where she would be throwing with her motion at the very end. So we're starting at the end of the motion when you would be finished to get to where your wrist snap is correct. So we're going to be in an open door position. In an open door position, you are imagining a wall in front of you, and the ball is a piece of chalk. So what you're doing is you're going to draw a circle on the wall. So this is how we're going to get the windmill to where the arm is big enough, the bigger the circle the better, with no locked elbow. But we don't want it behind our head, because then we have to come around our body and we're going to be pitching in a plane. So we're going to imagine the wall in front of us. This is the piece of chalk. We're going to have our wrist cocked. Now, this is the most important thing. One of the most important things in pitching is having your wrist cocked. The way to have your wrist cocked is to have the back of your hand as close to your forearm as possible. So the more flexible you are, the more it's going to be, the more the angle is going to be, which is better. So what you're going to do in a wrist snap position, you're going to have the back of your hand to your forearm. You're going to have your elbow isolated to your hip. You're going to come down to your toes and snap into your glove. So it's going to look like the bottom part of a circle is what you're trying to make. And you're trying to keep it as close to your body, but not behind your body as you can. So what Jen's going to demonstrate, the wrist snap. And you're going to shoot the gun at the end. You'll see your fingers shooting a gun. This is how we know that we've done the follow through on the wrist snap. The stronger the wrist snap, the faster the pitch is going to be. Good. And you can tell she's brushing her hip a little bit. That's how she knows she's in the plane. Okay, you can stop just a minute. Now you'll notice when she comes down, her fingertips, or this part of her thumb, is coming towards her toe, and then she's snapping the ball right here at her hip when she brushes, and she's shooting the gun. Now all this is done just into your glove, because this is what a pitcher needs to do before they ever throw to a catcher, because we don't need any aiming involved at all. So this is just working on that wrist snap. If they snap it at their hip, it will be a strike. So what we're going to do is really work on these fundamentals in order to get that. Okay, do it a couple more times. Snapping that wrist hard. The harder the pop, the harder you snap the ball, and that's what you want to do. And she's shooting the gun at the end. Don't stop your hand when you do that, because that can cause you to not follow through. Okay? That's one drill, your wrist snap drill. Brushing that hip. Good. Okay? The next thing we're going to do is the muscle. After we feel like we've got their wrist snaps good, they're releasing it good, they're coming down to their toe, they're shooting their gun, then we're going to go to what we call the muscle. This is just the next part of the full windmill motion or the circle motion. What we're going to do is we're going to have our hand at a 90 degree angle. Our wrist is cocked at the top, so the ball is facing the sky. Okay? Ball is facing the sky. She's got an angle here. Her wrist is really cocked here, and what she's going to do is she's going to come back down, and look what position she's back into. She's right back into the wrist snap again, so she's just going to come down and snap the wrist. So all we're doing is getting the arm prepared to do the motion. She's going to come straight down. She's waving at the people behind her. She's going to come down to her toe, and she's going to snap the wrist, shoot the gun. Okay? So come straight down. Now, the biggest thing on this part is that they don't get behind them. We got to keep it in that plane, on the wall. The wall's in front, so she's got to imagine that that ball is on the wall. As long as it's on the wall, it can't be behind her. She's brushing her hip, and then she snaps. Snapping it hard, shooting the gun. Good. This is called the muscle drill. Good. Just notice how her wrist is cocked. The ball is facing the sky. That's how they know that they have their wrist cocked the right way. A lot of times, pitchers will try to do this, and that's incorrect. You want it here, ball facing the sky. That's how you know they're doing it right. Okay? Snapping it hard, brushing the hip. Now, later on, we're going to show you the view from here, or let's just go ahead and turn you now. I'm going to turn the picture so that you can see, go ahead and do the muscle, so you can see that the ball is not behind her. If your pitcher has a problem with getting the ball behind her, you can put your hand on their shoulder here to keep it in a line, and then they just come straight down. That's how you can help them. Another thing you can do with this, Shannon, if you'll go to the wall, if they start having a problem with their arm coming behind them, can you see up here? You want to put their back to a wall and then come straight down and into their glove. That way, if their elbow starts hitting the wall, you know that they've gone behind their body. So this is just an aid to help their body, their arm stay in front of their body. Okay, and this is the muscle drill. Okay, what Jen's doing right now is we're looking at the back view of her in an open door position. Just doing the muscle drill. That way you can tell if her hand is coming down properly, if she's releasing correctly, if she's waving at the people behind her, which is us at this point, and if she's following through at the end. If the ball is not close to her body, she's going to have to move that glove a lot to the right, and she's not having to do that right now. Something you can do to help them, if you feel like their arm's way out, is you can come stand and be the wall for them. So that way they'll remember to keep the ball close to their body. Good. Good. Now what we're going to do is the half circle drill. That's after they've mastered the wrist snap and the muscle drill. What this is they're drawing a half circle on the wall. So they have their hand up. The arm is just slightly bent. You never lock the arm. We're going to have it slightly bent. You're still in an open door position. The ball is still facing the sky. The wrist is cocked. And all we're going to do is come down back to the wrist snap position and snap the ball. So all you're doing is making the half circle. The biggest part on this is that they do not get their elbow behind their hip. They've got to stay on the wall and stay in that plane, okay? So we're gonna come straight down, snap, half circle, down. Know that the wrist is cocked all the way down until she gets ready to snap at her hip. Right, snap it hard and shoot the gun. Good. Hitting the hip. Or brushing the hip, and you'll notice as she comes down, that wrist stays cocked all the way until she gets right here, and when she gets ready to snap is the only time she releases the wrist. Okay? Good. You want to put your hand behind her on her shoulder if it looks like she's getting out of plane there. Okay, if you turn for me, I want them to see the back view here. If you you stand at the back and watch them to make sure that their hand is on the wall. The arm is still close to the body. She's going to cock her wrist and come straight down, brushing the hip. Okay, and go to the wall for me. You can do the same thing with this to help them make sure that their elbow's not getting behind them. Put their back to a wall, cock your wrist, and come straight down, snap into your glove. Okay, something we haven't mentioned too is this glove hand that they're catching with, they need to have it low, because if they have it up here, what's going to happen is they're going to throw high balls. So you want it as low as they can without slumping their shoulder. They're standing up straight, their glove's here. If they're catching the ball, if they're having to move their glove out this way, their arm's coming behind them, and then they're having to compensate to come around to the front. So it needs to be right here. If their glove is having to move, their arm is not in the plane. Okay? Thank you. We're going to look at Shannon here with the half circle drill. Go ahead, Shannon, you can get started. Just to check to see if her elbow is in the correct alignment, which means that it's not out, it's in close to her body, her hand's brushing her hip, and that she's following through at the end with the shooting the gun, the finger with the thumb and the forefinger that we've talked about before. If she ends up to where she's having to move the glove a lot to the right, that means she's getting the ball either behind her and having to come around her body, or her elbow's out. So what you can do is you can come up close and make sure that she keeps that arm close to her body. Now, something that you want to look for is if they have a lot of people have a tendency to get that elbow out as they come down. And that's going to cause a problem with the release point. And you also cannot show them the different pitches when they learn the basics. So you want to make sure that that elbow is tucked in and then it comes down and snaps. A couple more times. Okay. The next drill after they master the circle is they have to master the full circle, which really is what the whole thing that their arm does when they're doing the motion in the open door position. Now, what you're going to have them do is they're going to start at the bottom. Their wrist is going to be cocked with their fingertips to their catcher, which at this point is the wall. So their fingertips are to the catcher. They're going to have the ball on the wall close to their body, going to come up around their head. You notice that the wrist is still cocked, and you're back to the half circle position again. And they will already know how to do this part. They're at the half circle. They're going to come straight down, and they're going to snap into their glove. Okay, go ahead and do that for me, Shannon. Good. Good, can you stop for me? Now, something that you don't want them to do is come here and come straight up, have to turn their arm and come down. What you're actually doing is your hand is cocked. I'll hold the ball here. Your hand is cocked. You're coming around. So the elbow is actually leading. The fingertips are to the ground. The ball is still to the sky. The ball is to the back to where you're waving to people. Then you're going to come straight down to your toes and you're going to snap. One of the most common problems is that they come here with their fingertips to the catcher. They come straight up and then they have to turn. And we don't want any kind of jerky motion whatsoever. It's got to be smooth. So you're going to come here, come all the way around, ball to the top, to the back, down, and snap. And then you're going to shoot your gun at the end. Okay? One more time for me. A couple more times. Good. Put your hand here if they have a problem getting out of line. Okay? Now, if we turn the picture so that you can see this view, when you're standing here, make sure she's in a plane where that arm is not coming behind her. Go ahead and do that. Good, cock that wrist. The wrist stays cocked until she gets ready to release it. We're going to do the full motion into your glove. Good. Now, you'll notice at this point they're not pointing that glove when the arm comes up just because they have to use it to catch. So that you only really teach them that at the end. When they get these drills at the beginning. Right after they master them, that's when you have them throw the glove up. Good. Good snaps, Jen. Keep those shoulders in an open door position. Make sure you don't turn them too much. This way. There you go. Okay. The elbow's in good. And there again, you can stand here and be the wall for them so that they know if they get their arm way out, you're probably going to get hit with the ball, but at least they'll know what they're doing. Okay. We're going to take our pitcher to the wall, have their shoulders to the back, especially if you feel like there's a problem with her getting her arm behind her. This way, if she hits the wall, her elbow has come behind her, and we don't want that. We've got to stay in front, so we're going to do that. Good. Snap that wrist. Good. Hitting the hip and snap the wrist. Now, another thing you can do is have your pitcher turn to the wall, have her stand very close. And if she doesn't understand, draw the circle on the wall, you just have her with the ball come and make that motion on the wall. She's very close to it, and she's making the motion on the wall to see if her hand stays where if the ball stays in position. And that's where the thumb is always to the wall. Okay? Come back for me. Okay, so these are your wrist snaps, your muscles, your half circles, and your full circles. All these are what is done when the pitcher is, you're in a full motion here, you come around, and you're in open door position. So everything that we have just practiced is what she'll do when she's in this position. This is something that she doesn't need to ever be thinking about. That needs to be what we call muscle memory, and that's why we're doing these techniques every day. They need to do these every day, these drills, so that they don't have to think about how their hand is turned. The only thing they need to think about is the wrist snap and the follow through. So if they will practice this every day, then that will be in their muscle memory, and they won't have to think about that when they're doing their full motion. Okay, so what we're going to do now is another drill for the circle. So if they have a problem moving their feet, whatever it may be, we got them down and we've got more work on the circle and the wrist snap. So you're going to have them get down on their knees, still in an open door position to where if they pointed their glove, their catcher would be right in front of them. But they wouldn't see any dots that we talked about earlier. The four dots, they can't see any. This is the open door position. So what you're going to do is cock your wrist and do the circle. Right. Good. Okay. A couple more times just so they can see. Now, if you find that your player is leaning a lot, if she starts leaning, she's losing her balance. That means she doesn't have her weight on her back foot, which we'll talk about when we talk about our feet. So you want to make sure that she's standing straight up when she lets that ball go. Okay? Good. One more time. This is the knee drill. Okay, good. Okay, we're going to get a view of Shannon with the drill where it's the open door and then the hip closes. We're slamming the door at the end. This is when they do bring their glove arm up and point to their wall or catcher, whatever it may be, and they slam the door and then they shoot the gun at the end. Now, Shannon's ball is having a tendency to go off to the right now. That means she needs, there it goes, right there. She needs to make sure that arm gets a little in front of her hips before she slams the door. A lot of times what will happen, common mistake, they get so excited about slamming those hips to make the ball go harder that they'll come here, and when they get here, they go ahead and start closing the door, so their arm is not in a plane anymore. It's gone off to the side. So what they have to do is make sure that arm is slightly, we call this slamming the door, so I tell them the arm is slightly in the door before they slam it. Okay? So that's what's going to cause the ball to be on a straight line. There you go. Good job. She's still brushing her hips. Make sure that elbow is in close to their body, not pointing out to the side, and that they're shooting the gun at the end. Good job. And she's going to field that ball like it came off a bat, right? Okay, one more time. Pointing the glove. Good. Okay. The next thing we're going to do, Shannon, is the full motion. And I've taken you through this pretty fast, but the girls that go through this and learn this technique, they practice these drills a lot before they ever get to the full motion into a wall. So what you're going to do is you're going to show the four dots to your catcher or to your wall at this time. The four dots she's going to be facing. She's going to have her right foot if she's right-handed, the right foot in front, the back foot just behind it, because when we're working on a rubber, both feet will be on the rubber. She's going to present the ball, come together, drop it, that's her backswing, and then she goes right back to the open door position. Once she drops it, she keeps all her weight on the back foot. She comes up, points, that's just everything they've been practicing. They're going to take that step and shut the door. We call that slamming the door when their hips come through. It's called slamming the door. So we're going to do a full motion now. Present, together, drop it, open, slam. Good. And she's out. Okay? Right foot's in front, left foot a little back. Now, if you're left-handed, your left foot's going to be in front. But she's right-handed, so her right foot's in front, left foot a little in back. She can present the ball together, drop it. This is where your motion starts, and press. Good. Now, one of the biggest things you have to watch for is that they pause at the top. Do not let them pause at the top. Once they get here, they bring it together, they drop it. This is where their pitch actually starts. So they should not be leaning a lot. I don't recommend leaning back because, as we talked about before, it's supposed to be the most efficient way as far as energy goes. So present it together, drop it back. This is where it all starts. All the weight comes on this foot, and you're going to whip this arm around as fast as you can. Then they're going to snap it at their hip and slam it. So they're going to explode all at one time. Okay, show it to them one more time. Together, drop, open, slam. Good. Okay. Jenna right now is pitching from the mound. We want to talk about foot placement on the mound. And she's also throwing to a catcher, which is something that they shouldn't do probably for a month after they start these techniques. And we're trying to get the correct distance to the catcher and also using the rubber to explode at the end when we were talking about with the wrist snap and the foot pushing out, the hip slamming the door. We're going to use the rubber to our advantage. And a lot of techniques show where you come on the rubber and you come through and you fly off the rubber. So your foot leaves the rubber before you ever release the ball. This technique shows that you can use the rubber to your advantage as far as a push point, so everything explodes at one time, and then you're just actually walking through for the follow through. So what we're going to do, since Jenna is a right-handed pitcher, she's going to put her right foot in the front and her back left toe will be on the back of the rubber. I suggest that both feet start on the rubber because a lot of rules around the United States say state that you should have both feet on the rubber, so that way there's no question of whether they're doing the proper technique. Now, what she wants to do is actually line her ball up with her catcher, not her right foot, because when they're in an open door position, the ball is slightly in front of their body, so that's where the line is going to come. That's the plane. So you want the right foot, the front foot, over to the side a little bit so the ball has that plane to go to the catcher with. Okay, so she's off to the left-hand side of the mound just a little bit. Okay, so she's going to rock back. Good. Two-hand catches from the catcher because we're going to play like we practiced, and we're always going to catch with two hands coming through, pushing at the end. Now, you'll notice after she follows through, after she snaps the ball, she follows through with the shooting the gun, keeping her weight back and press and coming through. Okay? Two-hand catches. Try it again. Now, you'll notice we don't do a lot of rock back here. We don't do a lot of stepping back because we're trying to make this motion as efficient as possible. Because sometimes in a game, in a tournament, a pitcher may have to pitch two or three games in a day And with this technique, she should be able to do that, or he should be able to do that, because you're conserving energy. The only thing you're doing, and it's a little misconceiving for a batter too, which is a good thing, because she doesn't look like she's putting a lot of effort, and then right when she releases the ball, that's when the explosion occurs and it jumps to the batter. So a lot of times it's very misconceiving for the batter. You'll notice that she doesn't take a really big step because she shouldn't be pulling, because it's all a push. It's all momentum, and when she gets here, she snaps. Good. A couple more. The more relaxed your pitcher is, the faster she'll throw the ball. Because when those muscles are nervous, they're contracted, and then she can't get the snap that she needs or the speed of her arm. So you want them as relaxed as possible. The harder they try to throw a lot of times, the worse it gets. And if she releases at that hip every time, it's going to be a strike. They never, ever compromise speed for the technique. You always want them to do the proper technique and snap that wrist hard. If it goes way over the catcher's head for a while, that's okay. Because with this technique, what you're trying to teach them is that they can fix themselves on the mound. Because a lot of times as coaches, we can't get out there and walk to them on the mound and get to them to talk to them. So they got to know with this technique, if that ball's going high, there's two things that's happening. I'm taking too big of a step, or I'm releasing too late, which means in front of their body. If they're on that mound and the ball is hitting the dirt before it gets to the plate, there's two things happening there. I'm taking too short of a step, or I'm releasing behind me instead of right at my hip, because the release point is right there at your hip. If they brush the hip and snap right there, it's going to be there in there every time. Okay, a couple more, Jen. Good. You notice how she's rocking her hand up? She's not pausing at the top. She's starting from the bottom and letting that momentum take her all the way. And then she's following through at the end, shooting the gun. There you go. Good. Thank you. Okay, we're going to get a little different view of Jen pitching now from the bat. This, again, is a view you want to start looking at, because you want to make sure that she's in her plane. You notice the ball went to the right a little bit there. That could have just been from turning her wrist, or it could have been from not stepping in a straight line. You'll have a problem sometimes with new pitchers trying to step with that front foot to the left or to the right just across their body. So you want to make sure that they're stepping straight. Something you can do is draw a line from the mound, from their front foot, just straight out. Jen, hold on just a minute. You can draw a line from their front foot. If she had her front foot there, draw it out, and then that way that they have an idea that they should be stepping on that line, because a lot of times they'll step this way, which makes the ball go over, or step this way, it'll make the ball go to the right. So if you're having that problem, then that's what you need to do, is draw a line, okay? But this is the angle that you can see that she's doing that. Good. Now, all of these are just automatic pitches. This is what we call the automatic pitch, just the technique itself. When they're in a game and they look like they're having trouble throwing the strikes and they start struggling, all you have to do is yell automatic pitch, and most of the time they just go in that automatic mode, and that's going to be a strike if they practiced at home enough. Good. You notice how Jen's coming out with that second foot? She's getting ready for the ball to come back to her. She shoots the gun. She gets ready for the ball to come back to her. Good job, Jen. And you notice how smooth it is. It's what you want. Now, with this, as they get consistent, what you're going to ask your catcher to do is make an X. And they don't aim for that X. They just look, and they release the ball, and it's going to be there. But a lot of times they get so consistent right down the middle, we're going to have to change them a little bit so they hit corners instead when they're releasing the ball. Good job, Jen. And then from this technique, because they keep their weight back, if they're doing it correctly, then we can teach them the change-ups, the curve balls, which that kind of looked like when they're Jen. Keep that elbow in. The curve ball, a drop ball, a rise ball, and a screw ball. So you can do a lot of things from this technique if they're doing it correctly from the very beginning, and they don't develop a whole lot of bad habits. The way to keep them from developing the bad habits is make sure you keep a close eye on them when they're practicing. Make sure that they're stepping in the line, they're releasing at their hip, their arm is in the circle, and they're opening their door. Good job. Okay, two more. Good. Okay, we're looking at Shannon from the back also. We're gonna have her catcher do some X work for us. So the X is just high inside, high outside, low inside, low outside. Sometimes they hit it, sometimes they don't when they're first learning, but all you want to stress is that they never aim the ball, ever aim the ball. Good, it's okay. And at this point, what you want to encourage them, especially if they're new like Shannon, you want to encourage them that even if it's not right at the glove, because that's where you'd love for it to be, because you don't want them to aim, as long as it's on that side and close to that area, they're doing what they're supposed to. And as they practice, it'll come. It'll go right to that glove. Good. Notice how she's ready for it. Shannon has pitched three or four games in a day before. Had to do that because she's playing on a couple of different teams, and she's had to pitch on, and Jen's had some tournament balls where she's had to pitch three or four in a day. And so with the energy efficiency, they've been able to do that with no problems. Actually, it gets them more relaxed, and by the last game, a lot of times they're a lot more have a lot more speed because they're a lot more relaxed. Okay. We're getting a little different view with Shannon here pitching with us. I want you to get a little look at the follow through here, how she opens her door from this side through to the catcher, and she's in a defensive position. You notice she too is also catching with two hands. I stress that when the catcher throws it back so that they practice that for the games, because they can develop little habits, like bad habits like that, if you don't stress them when they're trying to learn to pitch. Now what we're going to do is I'm letting Shannon get a little warmed up here with just the regular distance. Now something we also work on, or a drill we do to help them learn to keep their weight on their back foot and really concentrate on their wrist and their hips throwing the ball instead of their arm. That's a lot of times they try to pull from the shoulder, and they really should just let their wrist and their hips do it. It's just a very smooth motion. So what we're gonna do is after they get warmed up at the mound distance, I'm gonna ask her, after she throws a strike, to take two steps back, and she's gonna throw a pitch from that space, and it's called a long toss throw, and this is going to help them strengthen their wrist too. Go ahead and take a step back after this, Shannon. Take two steps back, two big steps back. Okay, she's going to throw from there, just one pitch. Normally I'll have her throw two or three from each. Good strike too. Okay, two more steps back. I'll have them throw two or three from each distance, but I just want to show you how it strengthens their wrist. She's going to stay on her back foot. She's going to do the same motion. Nothing has changed because we never compromise our technique for anything. She's not aiming the ball. She's just letting it go at her hip and following through. This really helps with follow through. Two more steps back. And eventually, they should really just be able to throw a strike from second base if you let them work their way back. Now, the rule of thumb for this drill is that if they take their two steps back and they throw two or three pitches from that spot, and they can't get it to the catcher, then they need to take a step back in and work from there until they've strengthened their wrist to throw from there. And then they can eventually work their way back, because when they see someone do this drill, they want to be able to throw from second base. But this is really just to help them stay back. Okay, really use your hips and your wrist on these, Shannon. Now what you're going to do is they keep backing up. Good. You notice how she follows through at the end? Go on to the back of the grass, Shannon, see if you can throw it from back there. Then when they get to as far as they can go, then they're gonna work their way, take a step in, throw a pitch, take a step in, throw a pitch, take a step in, throw a pitch. So that way, take a step up, Shannon, if that's a little too far right now. Remember to use your toe when you're throwing. Good. But that way they'll work their way back to the mound. Because the release point might be a little different. They might need to release a little sooner when they get to this mound, but what it has actually done is help them keep that weight. Good job. Help them keep that weight to the back. One more from there. Just one more from where you are. There you go. And really press. good. Explode at one time, good. Go ahead and take two more steps in, and then you're just going to gradually let them work their way from the mound. But that way they get that feel throwing. They have to stay on their back foot to throw from a distance, because if they're on their front foot, it's going to go on the ground every time. A couple questions that have been asked about this technique is the distribution of the weight, where the body should be. Some of the things that I tell the pitchers when they're pitching, to help them remember where their body is in space. That's a big problem, because when you have all these turns, that kind of thing, they can't feel their body. So you try to give them some type of illustration. So some of the things that I try to tell them, they have a tendency to lean over sometimes when they pitch. So I try to remember to tell them we're doing an open door and a closed door here. And what you want to do is make sure your door is not leaning over, that your shoulders are always over your hips. Because if they go this way, they're splitting the momentum. Another thing that they have a question about is when they come up and around, how are they going to cock their wrist here? If they come up like we just showed with the fingers down to the ground and around, they should not be releasing the wrist cock until they get right here to where they snap. So as soon as they feel that elbow brushing that hip, that's when they're going to snap the ball. This is what it's going to look like. So as soon as they hit that hip, that's how they know to release. They also want to ask me about the feet on the rubber. A lot of pitchers want to put a foot on the rubber and have one behind. I like to tell them to keep both feet on the rubber, mainly because that's what most of the rule books say, and we never want to be called in an important game on one of the rules. So we're just going to start out from the beginning doing the rules, and we don't rock back. The reason we don't rock back is because, first of all, you've wasted energy, and we want to save as much energy as possible, and also because it can cause a strain in the back if you go too far, and we don't want any injuries. This is supposed to be a biomechanically correct way to pitch, so you want to keep everything in a line. So what you're going to do is have both feet on the rubber, rock to where you shift your weight to that left foot, but you don't arch your back. You're going to drop it, open the door, and when that hip, that elbow hits that hip, that's when you know to release the ball. You never slow the ball down to find the release point, because your body is going to develop that muscle memory if you do these drills enough. Another thing, the biggest question that is asked, it's real popular these days to come off the rubber when you throw the ball. A lot of pitchers will go where they come here, they're all the way to the front, they jump, then they release the ball with their foot. There's two reasons that this technique does not do that. One is because the rule book says that you keep one foot in contact with the rubber until you release the ball. And if you're out here, then your foot is not in contact when you release. So what you want to do is keep both feet on, stay with that foot. The second reason is because you use that for your power. You use that rubber as a tool, and if you jump off, you don't have it anymore. So when you come around, what you want to do, use it to push, the wrist snap push, the slamming of the door all at one time. Here, use it to push. That's what's going to cause the speed. If you keep it all back on your back foot and then explode all at one time. One more time. Drop it back, keep it all back, and push. Okay. Those were some of the main questions that were asked. Okay. What I want to show you now is some things that you as a coach or parent can look at the pitcher and tell them what they're doing wrong. If they can't feel it or know how to fix it, that you'll be able to do it as an observer. Now, one of the biggest problems is throwing high or throwing too low. And there's several reasons for that. Of course, one of the reasons is the wrist snap, because we've talked about you have to hit your hip and release the ball. So if they're not releasing at their hip, it's going to be high or low or to the left or to the right. But how to fix that, if it's going high, if you have turned and thrown the ball, do your motion and don't actually throw it, what happens is if the ball goes high, you have released it in front of you instead of at your hip. So that they're releasing it here, so you need to remind them to release at their hip. You can get that bat like I showed you earlier and put it here so they'll remember where to release the ball. Another reason for throwing the ball high is that they take a really big step and they end up pulling the ball, and that causes them to have to release it in front of them instead of at their hip. Okay. Another thing that will happen, like we talked about a little bit before, is that the ball can go to the right side of the catcher from the pitcher's perspective. The reason for that a lot of times is when they have opened their door and they slam it a little too soon, their arm gets beside them, so it throws their arm out to the side. So what you have to make sure they do is open all the way, then have that hand come in the door first, and then slam the door. Another thing that can go with that is they end up not opening their door enough. When they come through, they open this way, and they've never opened their door, so their hips are still in the way, like this. So you want to make sure that the catcher can't see any dots when they make the full motion. Okay, your hand's out, Jen. And if that hand is to your catcher, you should be in an open door position. Okay, thank you, Jenna. Another common mistake is your low balls, throwing the low balls. Now, what has happened here? Two major things. You've either done your full motion and let the ball go behind you, so you're here, and you let it go here. The pitcher will let it go here instead of at the hip. So if you let it go here, it's going to be in the ground. Okay, so that, again, you can put the bat there, let them come through and hit that hand on the bat so they can remember where to release the ball, or remind them to brush their hip and release it. And this is where they're going to brush, right here on this part of the elbow is where they're actually going to brush, not the wrist, but the elbow part right here. Okay, another thing that can cause it to go into the ground is they're leaning on their front foot and they've got a short step. Okay, so they're lean, that it will cause a low ball to go into the ground. Even though they release at their hip, if they're on their front foot, their weight is not on their back foot, that ball will go in the ground. Okay, to the left of the catcher from the perspective of the pitcher, a lot of times what will happen is they haven't opened their door all the way and they end up pulling across their body. So if you do a full motion, they don't open all the way and then they pull across their body. That'll cause it to go to the left side of the catcher from the pitcher's perspective. Okay. Okay, one, I want to make sure that you understand what I'm talking about when I say aiming. And a lot of pitchers have a tendency to do that because a lot of areas have gone from slow pitch to fast pitch, and slow pitch a lot of times is the aiming of the ball or the pulling of the ball. And with this technique, all you're doing is snapping your wrist and letting the momentum take the ball through. So if at any time you feel any effort with a pull of the shoulder, that is an aim. Now the proper way to do it is you're presenting together, drop, and snap, and just let the ball go through. Okay, but what you want to do is make sure you look for this. This is the wrong way to do it. It's when you're coming here, they're way on their front foot, their arms behind them, and they're having to pull the ball because they've lost their momentum this way because they've split it, actually. They're on their front foot, and they have the ball here. And this happens when they really want to throw fast, and they think if their body gets to the catcher first, that's how fast the ball is going to go, but actually the ball is behind them. So this is what you want to look for. If they're doing something with the pulling, there's no wrist snap there when they do that. You'll see it sometimes and they'll do this and they'll come through almost like they're bowling. So it'll look like this. That's aiming, okay? So you just want to stay away from any kind of aiming. The only thing they should be doing is dropping that arm real relaxed, stay on that back foot, and just let the wrist take it. They should not have any effort in that at all. So we're just dropping, snapping the wrist. One more. Just dropping it, letting the momentum take it, and snap your wrist. Okay. What we're going to do now is a lot of pitchers have a tendency to stop at the top. They'll get their momentum going because we have that backswing that we talked about in the full motion. They come around and they get to the top and then they pull. The whole thing is just a smooth motion, so there never should be any pulling. You should never see the shoulder come through in this position because with this technique, it will really hurt a rotator cuff and we don't want any injury. So when you're doing the full motion, you make the backswing. Once they come here, it's just the arm continues to go, no pausing at the top, coming through, make sure the door's open. One of the biggest reasons for the door to be open is so there is no pressure on the shoulder because all it is momentum taking them through to the catcher. So one of the things you can do to have them feel that momentum is a thing that I like to tell them is when they used to go trick-or-treating and they had their pumpkin, their little bucket, and they had all their candy, and they would take it and swing it. And if they paused at the top, all the candy would fall out. So what we're doing here is making sure that they keep that pumpkin with all the candy in it, or their mother's purse, or whatever they used to do, swing around. They keep that momentum, because that is what's actually going to throw the ball. When they get to here, then they're going to snap it, and that's when all the power goes at one time, when their hips and their wrists does that. So what we're going to do, we're going to have their glove, put it in their ball hand, hold it tight, and we're going to have them swing that glove around so they can feel that motion. Swing it fast, all the way. Continue to do it, continue to do it. So this way they can feel if they're pausing at the top. Do a little faster, Jen. That's the motion. The faster the arm, the more momentum you're going to get. You stand behind them, put your hand on their shoulder so that they don't get behind them, and that what they're going to do, they feel the weight in their hand, which should actually be the ball, and then when they get to their hip, they can imagine that they're snapping their wrist right there. Okay, stop. So there they can tell or get the feel of what it's like to not pause at the top, and that'll help them a lot of times feel their body when they're trying to pitch. Okay, thank you. What we're going to show you is the warm-up that we use for our pitchers in order to get them where there will be no injury, hopefully, that we just stretch everything out that they should to get those warmed up before they even throw a ball. What I'll have them do is they do a slow jog to the fence and back, or just any kind of small distance and back. And the whole reason for that is that a lot of people stretch and then they run. But what we're doing is we're trying to get the blood to the muscles first to get it so that they're warmed up before they ever try to stretch them, because we don't want to stretch any cold muscles. So they're going to do a slight jog to the fence and back, very slow. They're running with their gloves, as you notice, because in a game they'll be running with the gloves on their hands. So we practice like we're going to play, and just getting the blood to the muscles. That's all we're trying to do. Okay, then we're going to have them come over, and if you have a big group, they can circle, whatever. We're going to start with our stretching our legs, and then we'll move to our arms. Then go ahead and throw their gloves down. Okay, we're going to just go to the side, stretch a little bit to each side, just to get the muscles stretched out. And what we try to do is do these three times on each side. For time's sake today, we're not going to do that. But the first time they go down, they just go down until they feel a little pull. The second time they go a little further, and the third time they should go a little, go as far as they can. Now we're going to go in the middle with our knees, toes slightly pointed out there, Shannon. We're just going to press in the middle. We're not leaning way over. We're just going to get it right there in the middle. Then we're going to put one foot out to the side. And what you want to watch with this is that the knee is over the ankle. You don't want the knee to come over the toe. That's not a proper position. You're going to have the knee over the ankle, so that way you don't put too much stress on the knees. We sure don't need any injuries for that. And they're just stretching. If you don't feel anything in this position, you just keep putting that back foot out further and further until you feel a pull right in the hamstring and groin muscle. Okay, then they just switch to the other side, just rock to the other side. If you feel like that knee's too far over your toe, then you just pull the back leg back some. Okay, we go right back to the middle, stretch it out again. Now they're going to sit down, and we're going to stretch our hamstring muscles. So everybody sit. One foot out and one foot in. Now what you want to do is, instead of having the knee behind you in this angle, we pull it in, because that can also put a lot of pressure on your knee. So what you're going to do is you're going to have them stretch straight down. Tell them to try to touch the shoelaces. If they can go to their toe, that's fine. So stretch with both hands and relax. Then the second time, they should go a little further, stretch down. They should hold anywhere from 5 to 10 seconds. Come back up, and then try to go a little, the furthest you can go on this one, as far as you can go. Good, and then you're gonna switch sides. Good, and down. I don't ever suggest having anybody behind them pushing them. We're just trying to get these major muscles stretched out up, trying to get the major muscles stretched, because with that push, if you pull a hamstring, you're going to have a hard time getting back. Go down again. And that's why a lot of hamstrings are pulled up. One more time. And the quads are, the hamstrings are at the back of the leg, if you're not sure, and the quads are in the front. Quadriceps are in the front. So we really want to get those stretched out. Okay, up. Put them both together. call this a butterfly, and try to keep your back straight and just go straight down and hold it. Is that as far as y'all can go? And up. After they do that three times, put both legs in front straight. Now this is going to really stretch the back muscles and the hamstring muscles. So you're going to go forward. We're not ever going to bounce in these. These are what we call static stretching, because bouncing, you don't have as much control, and we sure don't want to pull anything. And up. Okay, what you're going to do now is they're going to get in a squat position, one foot out in front, one knee down. We can do the quad stretch this way. This is going to stretch the big muscles in the front of the leg this way, or you can also do one where you're standing up with a hand on someone's shoulders, grab your ankle, not your toe, and you're going to press out. You're not even going to pull it in, you're just going to press out. Okay, so if y'all stand up, y'all can do that one for them too. Just show you two different variations of that. Okay, and you can just pull up. Good. And one more that I want to show you too is a hamstring. If the ground is too wet, or you're not in a position where they can get on the ground, they can also do a hamstring. Thank you. You do a hamstring stretch where you put one foot out in front, the back leg is bent, you put your hands on your bent knee, and you press. Behind goes down, and you can feel it in your straight leg hamstring. You never want to try to lock this knee though. Try not to lock that knee. And then you can put your toe down, up and down. Okay, now for the arms, we do arm circles to get the blood good to the muscles there. And back. Good. Take a hand up and pull it, put it behind you and pull to where you feel that in the rotator cuff, and you also feel it in the tricep, which is the back of the arm here. And you switch. You do those three times each. Then you bring them around the front. The hand goes across the body. The bottom hand comes up on the elbow, and you pull. And you do both sides that way. Okay, what you can do is you have partner work where they come together. Okay, one turns around. She puts her arms behind her. You're going to grab her and press in slowly. And this person always communicates.
Let's get ready.
Okay, that's good. She told her to stop. Okay, now I don't want any playing around with this, because someone can get hurt, and you release and go again. Another one that you can do is where they face each other. They get their arm at a 90 degree angle, elbows together, and they press. You need to get two people who are at the same strength for this, but this is also stretching that rotator cuff. You can turn this way a little bit so the camera can see at this angle too. Okay? Okay, good. All right. Then you also want to get your fingertips, and you want to pull down on both hands, but especially your pitching hand. Shake them out, roll them around, pull them down. So that way, when you cock your wrist, you're not going to pull anything in those areas either. We're trying to keep as much pressure off the elbow and the rotator cuff as possible, so we really want to stretch the wrist and the shoulders out good. Okay? After they do the warm-up where they jog to the fence and they come back and they do the stretching with their legs, then I have them just come and throw overhanded. They catch with two hands as the catcher throws back to them, because that's what they do in a game. And every three or four overhand throws, then they're just going to throw in just a underhand automatic pitch with the technique that they've learned. Now, usually we don't start them doing this. Well, they always throw overhanded, but they don't throw the automatic pitches in until you feel like they really have the motion down. But just automatic pitch, just to get their arm loose underhanded. And you'll see they're throwing overhanded and throwing underhanded. After they do this and they feel like they're good and warm, their arm's warm, as if they were just going to throw to first base, we have them come back and we do the drills. They have to do 20 of the wrist snaps, 20 of the muscles, 20 of the half circles, 20 of the full circles, and then they're ready to throw a full motion. Okay, after they've stretched, they've done the overhand and the underhand, just warming up that rotator cuff, that arm. Then we have them come over to the side just by themselves into their gloves. They do about 20 wrist snaps, which they're doing now. That's where you kind of isolate that elbow a little bit. They hit their hip and they snap, shoot the gun. Then they go to the muscles. Go ahead to the muscles, ladies. Keeping the ball in front of them as always, cocking that wrist. They do about 20 of these. We're going to go through it fast today, but you want to make sure they do 20 or 30 of these before they ever throw a full motion pitch. Then they go to the half circle, still throwing into their glove. About 20 or 30 of those, just to get that muscle memory going again before they throw the full motion. Then we're going to do the full circle into their glove. I got it right here. Full circle into their glove. Still in the open door position, just muscle memory, working at it again. They do this every day, so they know they got to do it before they do their full motion. Okay, and then they're ready to go and stand in front of their catcher and ready to do a full motion, which is what we showed you off the mound. Okay? All right. All right, what we're going to talk about right now is some things that your pitchers can do to strengthen their wrists, since one of the biggest things is that they have a great wrist snap with that momentum. So what we're going to do is strengthen the wrist two ways. The first way we're going to show you, you just take a bar, you staple a rope on it. Shannon has actually got 4 pounds on this now, but she didn't start out with that much, and it can just increase. What she started out was 2 pounds. You just tie a rope and tie that weight to the bottom, and you see she's rolling it up all the way to the top, and then she's going to control it and let it down. Don't let it, you're not just going to let it fall down, you're going to actually control it. So we're working the positive and the negative with the muscles of the wrist. So that's what we're going to do to try to strengthen it. Shannon, how many times a night are you up to now with that? Do you just do it till you get tired?
Yeah.
I would say you do it, start off with 2 pounds, anywhere from 10 to 20 times, and then as you add weight, you should stay with the 10 to 20. If it gets too easy, then you just add a little more weight. But more than 20, we don't want to take any of the flexibility away when you're trying to strengthen the muscle either. So that's why we have to make sure that we do our finger stretches like we did at the beginning with the warm-up. Okay, thank you. Okay, another thing that we do to strengthen the wrist and to also help them keep their weight on their back foot is take the regular size ball that they use, and we put finishing nails in them. Now this one has a lot because they're a lot stronger with their wrist now, but when they first started, really you don't need to put any more than 5 or 6 nails in the ball and evenly distribute them. And then as they get stronger and they can move further back in that long distance drill, you actually just start adding a few more nails. But you don't want to get it too heavy to start with because they'll get frustrated, and they will also throw their technique off trying to get the ball to you. So you want to make sure that there's only enough nails in it for the pitcher to use the technique, but also get the weight effect to strengthen the wrist. Now we're going to let Jenna throw this ball and let you see she still uses the same technique that she used with the ball without the nails. Okay? Okay. You notice that Jenna is still in her regular motion. She's still doing the releasing at her hip. She needs to get her momentum going again. With a ball, it takes a while to get that momentum going. But now every nail that you add to this ball is going to add some weight to it. So you need to keep that in mind. So don't think if you just put 4 or 5 nails in a ball that it won't cause very much difference, because it will. They'll be able to feel the difference in the weight. And we don't want to get too much weight on it too early, because we don't want them to get out of the technique that they're using. All this is to strengthen, not to make them feel like they have to really pull the ball to get it to the catcher. Thank you, Jim. Okay. That just about does it for this video. I hope these drills for this technique will help you be a better pitcher.